Today I want us to be looking in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be reading the first four verses. And the title of the message today is Abraham, a picture of grace. So now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Today I want us to be looking at this man, Abraham. Now, he's spoken of many times throughout the scriptures, throughout God's word. And he is set forth in the word of God as a man of faith. And I think it would be profitable for all of us to learn something about this man, Abraham. When the apostle Paul wanted to illustrate justification, he used Abraham. He said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What God did for Abraham, he has done for all of his chosen people. And they are described and called the children of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So today, as we look at this man, Abraham, I want us to look at seven things which are said about Abraham, and they are said also about all God's children, all his elect. First of all, Abraham was chosen by God. He was picked out from his whole family. God separated him, God set him apart, and God singled him out from everybody else. God chose Abraham, and God has chosen all his people. And why did God choose Abraham? Why did God pick him out? The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. We read and find out about Adam and Eve. And then God started over again with Noah and his three sons. And now God begins as he sets apart this man. And he's going to set apart his whole family. As we see all through the Old Testament, how God set this family apart, and he begins with this man, chose him by his grace. The reason God chose him, it pleased God to do so. There's many other illustrations in the scriptures. God chose David above his seven other brothers. The whole town was filled in Jericho, and God chose Rahab the harlot. He chose Ruth, and we could go on and on and on where God picked out individuals, and he chose them by his free grace before the world ever began. Our Lord said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. If we'd left to ourselves, we would never choose God. The choice was all of God's free grace. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he, God, hath chosen us in Christ, in him. When did all this happen? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So we see God's choice was before the foundation of the world, before we ever existed. Not that God looked down through time and saw Abraham and saw what Abraham would do or wouldn't do and chose him on those basis. No, he chose him according to his own will, God's will. God has elected a people that he chose and set apart before the world was ever made. It was not that Abraham just decided one day to choose God. God chose him, and that means that God set his love upon Abraham. We've just read this man was 75 years old. But God set his love upon that man, and God chose him. Like Noah, Abraham found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why would God set his love upon anyone? That is a question. Why would God set his love upon anybody? What amazing love. John Newton said it right, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." God said, "I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy, and whom I will, I'll hardeneth." So we see that God chose him, picked him out, selected him, set his love on him. Why? It pleased God to do so. When it pleased God who separated us from our mother's womb is what Paul said. It's all God's work. Secondly, he was called of God. The day in which Abraham lived was a wicked, wicked time. It was a wicked world. By this time, the religion of Nimrod and Babel had become the religion of the world. And there were very few exceptions, except for maybe Job and Melchizedek. Most everybody was idolaters, worshiping images, worshiping themselves. And that was where he lived. That's how he lived. That was the condition. But God called him. Abraham was an idolater, like everybody else, like his father before him. But the Lord appeared to Abraham. It says in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was preaching, he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearkened. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." Who appeared to him? The God of glory. When he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan or Haran, as we read here in the scriptures. And God said unto him, here's what God said to him when he appeared to him. "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and come into a land which I will show thee." Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. God called him. God revealed himself to him. God called him. God called him. Our Lord appeared to Abraham and preached the gospel to him. He said, "In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed." How can that be? This is speaking of Christ. It is through him that all the nations of the world are blessed, from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. That blessing that he spoke of was justification. Abraham was blessed, we're going to see that in a minute, because he was called and chosen. He was justified by free grace, not by his works. This is where he was when God called him. God called him. He was not looking for God. God came looking for him. And God still calls sinners to himself. And those that he chose, he's going to call them in his own time. Abraham, 75 years old. Age has nothing to do with it. But God called him. How does God call? He calls through the preaching of the gospel. And through that gospel, God reveals himself unto that sinner. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because he hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit." Now listen to this. "And belief of the truth of God, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." How does God call sinners? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the truth of God. This was a particular distinguishing call. God called Abraham. Just like when God came to Lazarus' grave that day and Lazarus was dead. No question about him being dead. He began to stink. And God walked to his grave, our Lord Jesus Christ did, and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And God called Abraham. Spoke to him distinctly, particularly, and something else. There was an irresistible call. God made him willing. He didn't want to say no. By nature, we will say no. By nature, we don't want God. We will not listen. But if God ever calls, you're going to listen. And it was an unconditional call. It wasn't based upon anything that Abraham would do or ever do. God called him. Called him. What a blessing. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and callest. Calls us to approach unto thee." Our Lord said, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. He knows them. They're his sheep. Abraham was one of his sheep, and God called him. And when he calls him, he said, and they follow me. Not a stranger, not some other voice. They follow him. And how do they follow him? Through the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. So Abraham was a chosen man. He was a called man. He was a believing man. Abraham believed God. Now think about that for a moment. Didn't say Abraham believed in God. He didn't believe there was a God. He believed God. He believed God. Why did he believe? Now listen. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 8 of the same chapter. By faith Abraham. By faith. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. And here's the word, he obeyed. Why did he obey God when God spoke to him? He believed God. And he went out not knowing where he's going. Now that's belief. By nature, man wants to see all the details. He wants to have everything just in line and say, well, where are we going, God? How are we going to get there? What's the means we're going to use to get there? What's it going to be like when we get there? God just said, Abraham, you come out. You come out. And he believed God. That's faith. Believe God. Believe God. He simply believed God. He believed him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. When God gives a man a new heart, he will believe God because God enables him to believe. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God gave him faith, and he believed God. You know why people don't believe God? They don't have faith. How are they going to get faith? God must give it to them. How does he do this? He gives them a new heart. He comes to them. He has chosen them. He's going to call them. When he calls them, they're going to believe him. Romans 4 verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. And it was encountered or imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, how did this come about? Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That's what he earns. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He believed God, and God declared Abraham righteous. Perfect, justified in God's sight. And he does it for all his children. They believe God. We are what? We are believers. What do believers do? They believe. And they obey. Why do they obey? Because they believe. And you could go on and on. What did Abraham believe? He believed the word of God. This was his foundation. And he stood upon what God promised him. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. And he doesn't have a child for several years. But it stood upon God's faithfulness and God's promise, what God said. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. A man has to hear the true gospel. He's got to hear about a God that can save. It's not what Abraham did. That's what God promised to do. So Abraham was chosen, he was called, he was a believing man, and something else, he was a blessed man. He stood before God as a blessed man, accepted in Christ, justified and declared righteous. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All those blessings were in Christ. He was chosen in Christ, and he was blessed. God would bless Abraham by giving him a son, in whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. That's pictured in Isaac, who's a picture of Christ. All the nations of the world are blessed in Christ. That's the seed. That's what he's promising to Abraham. God set him apart. Set him apart. When the world speaks of blessings, they usually refer to wealth, health, or success. It would be several years before God finally gave Abraham a son. He's 75. I think he was 100 before he ever had the son. 25 more years. But he's already blessed. If God ever reveals himself to you and calls you by his grace and gives you faith to believe and trust in him, I can't think of a greater blessing. Blessing. Now notice these are spiritual blessings. Most people, if we were left to ourselves, we'd just go our own way. But God richly blessed Abraham. God gave him eternal life. God gave him peace. God gave him rest. God gave him hope. And God gave him himself. God told Abraham one time that he was his exceeding and great reward. That's what God told Abraham. Can you think of a greater blessing? Can you think of a greater blessing? This world knows nothing of blessings. They say, well, how can Abraham be a blessed? Where's his blessing at? It's in Christ. It stands upon the promises of God. Oh, what a blessed man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Something else. Abraham was a tried man. I can tell you this about genuine, true faith. The faith of God's elect, it will be constantly tried. The world has the idea that if you're a believer, you will never have any problems. You will never be sick. And if you do have trouble, it's because you've sinned. Now listen, we've all sinned. There's not a day, a second that goes by that we don't sin. And I know most of our problem, everything's a result of our sin. We know that. But everyone in this world today, and it bothers me every time I hear it. I don't know what, they say have a blessed day. They have no idea. What do they mean by this? Do they think they have the power to invoke a blessing on somebody? I think not. Abraham and all his children were blessed, and in this world, God's people are severely tried. Look at the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus laid at his gates full of sores, but Lazarus went to glory. Look at the rich man. He fared sumptuously. He had everything he ever wanted. What happened to him? Now, who was blessed here? And he was tried. His faith and our faith is constantly tried. Sarah was still barren. He didn't know whither he was going. He didn't know where he was going. He just depended on God. Now that's faith. It's tried. He didn't know where he was going, how he would get there, or what his place would be when he got there. But he never once asked God to show him these things. He simply committed everything to God. He had to break many earthly ties. He not only had to leave his family and friends, he had to leave them in religion. Now that's a trial. Would you want to leave all your family, your children, your father, your brothers? Abraham did. When he got into the land of Canaan, there's new trials awaited him. The Canaanites were everywhere. They were idolaters. Abraham still roamed about, dwelling in tents. And he still believed God. And at last, his daily bread began to fail him. And what did he do? He goes down to Egypt, looking to the world. Then there was the trouble with Lot. with Ishmael and Hagar. And then the Lord tried Abraham, and he said, Abraham, after God gave him a son, he said, you take your son, your only son, and you offer him unto me. He was a tried man. Tried man. True, genuine faith will be tried. And when it's tried, it will manifest to that faith that is genuine, that is trusting in God, not in the power of the flesh. You say, why did he go down into Egypt? Unbelief. It's not based upon our faith or our unbelief. It's based upon the faithfulness of God. And God sends us these things to wean us from this world so we will trust him, not ourselves. You say, well, the Bible says, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you. It'll be tried, and he was tried. And Abraham, he was a sinful man. As long as we live in this world, we will have to deal with this old man. I think some people have the misconception that when God saves a sinner, that he totally eradicates sin and they'll never have another wrong thought, have another wrong motive, and that's just not the case. There's a struggle on the inside. There's this old man that can do nothing but sin, but there's the new man, the Bible says, which cannot sin. Would you like to explain that? I can't. I just believe it. But I know there's a struggle. Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. We see our sinfulness. We see our wretchedness. And God won't let you forget it. His temptations were severe. We see when he went down to Egypt, he betrayed a lack of confidence in God. If he hadn't, he'd have just stayed. Said, well, I think we'll go down and look to the world. We'll look to somebody else, and everything will be fine. Read the rest of the chapter. He even tells his wife, he says, now you're a very attractive woman. And when we get down to Egypt, Pharaoh is going to want you, and they're going to kill me to take you. And when we get down there, you're just going to tell them, I'll tell them, and you can tell them that you're my sister. Does that sound like a believer? No, but that's who he was. He's a sinful man. There's no man without sin. Listen to me. What are we to learn from that? Abraham, this man of faith. The best of men are only men at best. Everyone will let you down because we look to Christ, not to men. They're only men. They're only flesh and blood. And one thing we know, one thing, there's many ways, but one way we know that this is the Word of God. God didn't cover up anything. God exposes everything about everybody. What Noah did, made a vineyard and got drunk. Abraham didn't believe God here at this point. He was a sinful man. God leave you alone. Listen, tell him what you'd do. True saints are plagued with much sin. True believers. You say, is he a believer? Yes, he was a believer. God shows us that it's all his grace. It is not our faith that merits our justification, but it is Christ, the object of our faith. And God will teach you. And God must teach you every day that you're a sinner. But people say, well, I know I've committed a few things. Would you say you're a sinner? Would you say I'm a sinful man? Every time I read in God's Word where somebody seen God's glory, they saw themselves. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Peter said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Job said, I'm vile. What made men make confessions like this? They saw themselves as a sinner. And you know what it did? It broke them. It humbled them. And all God's elect are still sinful people. Sinful. We know it. And we regret it. But it's just a fact. But I want to show you this. Abraham was a kept man. Why didn't Pharaoh kill him when he was in Egypt? He could have said, you lied to me. I won't just have you put to death. God protected him. And God even used it to make him. You say, God doesn't do that. Oh, yes, God does. God says, I create light and I create darkness. God still was faithful to himself and to his promises. We might see in a few weeks where Abraham, God told him he was going to have a son, and he doubted God, and his wife said, okay, here you take my handmaid in, and she conceived and had a son named Ishmael. Everybody thought, oh, this is the son God was going to give him. No, he wasn't. It was several years later before God ever gave him Isaac, and the longer he waited, the older Abraham got. But God kept him. God was faithful to him, even though Abraham was not faithful. God was faithful. It's God's faithfulness. God keeps his people. God preserves his people. All of his people. Salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Salvation from the time that God chose him, called him, blessed him, gave him faith to believe, tried him, showed him his sinfulness, but God kept him. God preserved him. If God left us alone, every believer would apostatize and leave tomorrow. We all would. Abraham, like all believers, are kept by the power of Almighty God, and they'll never leave him. They're preserved. If we were left to ourselves, we'd all leave him. The Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, did he not begin a good work in Abraham? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't begin to build a house and then leave it. God didn't begin a work of grace in this man and then say, okay, I'm going to leave him alone. I'm going to remove my love from him. Oh, no, no, no. He's a kept man. And all God's people are chosen and kept. What are we to learn from this story of Abraham? Salvation, as I've just mentioned, is by grace. Free, sovereign grace. And as long as we live in this world, we have to keep learning that we're still sinners. And as long as we live in this world, our faith will be tried and it will be tested by something else. Lastly, God is faithful to keep his own. He will be gracious. That's why it's gracious. He didn't leave him. I loved him. What a blessing. What a blessing our God is that he would call us and choose us and set us apart and send the gospel to us. And I pray that God would enable you to hear today. That you would hear him, not hear my voice, but you would hear him. And God would give you faith to believe him right where you are. It's not coming to the front of a church. It's not doing anything. It's not moving a muscle. It's when God enables you to believe him. And only God can do that. And when he does, you will. Till next Sunday, may God bless you.